They play lots of instruments, including one you've never heard of. They write cool music, and the songs on their new CD feature lyrics by such novelists as Rick Moody, Margaret Atwood, Daniel Handler, and Dave Eggers. My guests, Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp, are the founders of the band One Ring Zero. They met while working for Hohner Harmonica, repairing and tuning instruments. Their new CD is called As Smart As We Are. This track, Natty Man Blues, features lyrics by novelist Paul Auster.
There ain't no sin in Cincinnati. Since I've been in Cincinnati, I gotta get out of Cincinnati, or else I'll go plumb dumb and batty. Since I mean to sin wherever I am, since I mean to sin whenever I can.
That's the band One Ring Zero, Michael Hurst, Joshua Camp. Welcome to Fresh Air. What instruments are we hearing on that song?
It's so many instruments, we can't even remember what we put down. Claviola is one of the main instruments, theremin, and
there's some guitar,
slide guitar,
organ. There's specifically the Thomas organ from the 70s,
and of course voice. That is an instrument after all.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you mentioned the claviola, and if our listeners are thinking claviola, I've never heard of that. There's a good reason they've never heard of that, and what is that reason?
The claviola was a short-lived. It had a short life, shelf life, I guess. It was introduced in the mid-90s, maybe 94, 95, 96, and quickly was discontinued because no one bought it, because it was too expensive and...
Over-engineered.
Over-engineered.
We like to refer to it as the Edsel of the music industry.
Yes, exactly. Which is what drew us immediately to it, and we started a band based around it.
Really? Is that how you started the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the most ridiculous thing we'd ever seen and decided to form a band right there and then.
Yep.
And you were both working at the Hohner Harmonica Factory at the time.
It's actually a warehouse for North America, and Michael was the assistant harmonica technician, and I was the assistant accordion technician.
Believe it or not, I spent 8 hours a day tuning harmonicas 5 days a week.
Wow. Well, I want to hear a little bit more about that a little later, but first I want to hear more about the claviola. I think you've brought one with you.
I did.
Yeah.
One of the 14 that came to North America.
Just amazing. Would you describe it just visually before we hear it?
I like to refer to it as it looks like a swan that's been run over by a car. It you wear it similar to an accordion, except you have a mouthpiece that you blow into, and it has this one wing that comes off to the left side, which encases several pipes that shape the sound further from just the free reed sound.
So there's an accordion keyboard type thing on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, it looks like there's pipes almost like a really large pitch pipe.
Exactly,
yeah.
Except the opposite.
A pan pipe is probably closer.
Right.
Visual.
Okay. Can you play it?
I can. And it's actually on the opposite of what you said. The right side is the... Not that it matters. Sorry.
Oh, the right side is the keyboard. That's the opposite
the right
of
the
accordion,
keyboard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd be horrible.
No, accordion is also the right side.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can get some nice... note bends. You can actually put your left hand over the pipe and change the pitch slightly.
So you're getting that bended note by moving your hand on the pan pipe side?
Exactly. Yeah. Sort of creating an extension of the pipe itself to make the pitch go down.
Huh.
Huh. Right.
But then, you know, we've come up with some interesting techniques. I guess there's hasn't been any...
Yeah.
There's no method book for us to follow on how to play it, so we've...
That was the nice part about it. We just sort of created our own way to play it.
Well, do you know
you can also inhale on it.
Oh, do that.
The inhale is a different sound.
We don't use that much, but... It's a little thinner.
It's like a harmonica you can inhale
on. Yeah, it's more like
that.
A harmonica.
Yeah, that's so fun. Uh-huh. And then, of course, flutter tongue. Well, not of course, but... You know.
Wait, how are you doing that?
I'm actually rolling my tongue. It's a technique that a lot of...
wind players use it
wind
all
players
the time.
Use and just kind of doing a brrr sound with my tongue and...
I think that's really great that this kind of bizarre instrument that most people thought was totally useless, that you actually get these really wonderful sounds out of it that you could use either for novelty effect, but also just for, it could be really pretty.
It
makes some beautiful sounds.
Haunting. Yeah.
So I just think it's really interesting that has anybody outside of you guys ever really used this instrument?
Well, you know, having worked at Hohner, I can almost name everybody who bought one of those 14.
Yeah.
There are several people. I know John Medeski actually bought one from me, and so he's used it with Medeski, Martin, and Wood. And there's several other people. Rob Schwimmer, who's been on tour with Paul Simon recently playing Claviola. So, you know, there's a few around, and we need to go find them and steal them.
We need to eliminate the competition.
Did you ever talk to the inventor of the Claviola?
No, he... that's an interesting story. The inventor was Dr. Ernst Zacharias, who was sort of the most famous inventor that worked for Hohner over the years. And his most successful invention was the clavinet, which was made famous by a lot of early 70s keyboard players, specifically Stevie Wonder, you know, very superstitious, that whole era. And I think he actually came up with the Claviola idea in the 60s, about the same, you know, maybe a few years after the clavinet. And it was never, Hohner never decided to put it into production or come up with any kind of practical design for it until the 90s, maybe.
One of the things that's fascinating to me about the whole story, well, there's a couple things. One is that these guys still wear lab coats in the factory in Germany, which is just great. I love it.
Yeah, it's like really,
we are engineers. But the other thing that's fascinating is that Ernst Zacharias never intended for these things to be played in pop settings. I think it was very...
The clavinet was to him an amplified clavichord, really.
He was expecting it to be appropriate Germanic music, you know, Bach and whatever. But, you know, then Stevie Wonder took it and made a... Ran with it. And so I don't know how thrilled he would be at what we're doing with the Claviola, but
What did he intend it for?
Well, that's a good question. I have no idea. The interesting thing about it is that it, as far as free reed instruments go, I mean, it's in the same family of accordion and harmonica, obviously. The direction of air is in the opposite of all these other instruments. The reed vibrates essentially the wrong way, which is why it sounds so different than accordion or harmonica.
Well, why don't we hear one of the tracks on your new CD, As Smart As We Are, that prominently features the Claviola. Now, the song we're gonna play is called Radio, and it's a song with a lyric by Daniel Handler, who writes the Lemony Snicket novels. And, you know, all the songs on this new CD are lyrics by writers that you have set to music. So, before we actually hear it, if you could just play the Claviola line from the beginning of the song so we could hear what the Claviola is doing. Great. And here it is in full 3D on the recording from the new CD, As Smart As We Are.
If I had a radio, For every time you loved me so, I wouldn't have a radio at all. Now I sit and waste my time. My room is quiet as a mime, and wait for someone glamorous to call.
It's a lyric by Daniel Handler, who writes the Lemony Snicket novels. It was set to music by Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp, the two members of the band One Ring Zero. And all of the songs on their new CD feature lyrics by writers that One Ring Zero set to music. And the CD is called As Smart As We Are. Well, I think your songs are just really, really good. And the instrumentation is so interesting. Before we talk about setting these writer songs to music, let's go back to the Hohner Hohner warehouse, was it, that you worked?
And
Chris. You worked in. You were both technicians. One of you was working with accordions and one with harmonicas. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Can you just tell us a little bit about what your day was like as a harmonica and a technician and an accordion technician? What did you do, fix the instruments?
Joshua spent, well, you spent your entire days repairing, tuning, and
I actually towards the end there, I was mostly running the department because my boss was in charge of research and design, and so I would answer phone calls and keep track of all the accordion parts to sell to various accordion technicians around the country. A lot of our jobs was trying to make the lower end quality accordion harmonicas sound a little better for the American market. That was most of our day.
Right.
Well, your new CD features lyrics by writers that you set to music. How did you start doing this?
We just kind of stumbled into a literary scene. We both moved up to New York. We were originally from Richmond, Virginia, and in 2001 we both moved up to New York, and I had read a heartbreaking work of staggering genius by Dave Eggers, and a friend of mine said, I think Dave Eggers has this little curio shop down the street in Park Slope in Brooklyn, and I walked up and down 7th Avenue in Park Slope looking for this store, and I stumbled upon it and finally found it and handed a CD to the store manager, who loved it and quickly invited us to play readings that they were having in this little space. I mean, the room was no more than 5 feet by 8 feet. And we would have Rick Moody and Viggo Mortensen, these guys who Viggo was actually reading and not there to act. But, so we're all cramped in this room, and Joshua and I would get up on stage and play a few songs before the readings began. And that's kind of how we met all these authors.
No, these authors are not lyricists. Did you ask them to write lyrics that you could set to music?
We did. It was interesting. Rick Moody was kind of the first person to take a liking to, the first person to really pull us in that direction. He saw us performing at one of the readings and invited us to improvise behind him while he read the opening chapter from his novel Purple America. And we got on stage and just winged it. And it turned out so well, we actually ended up eventually recording it and did several songs or improvisations behind Rick Moody's spoken word. And at that point, we thought it'd be fun to turn the tables and ask Rick if he would be willing to write us some lyrics. And there were originally 3 songs that he wrote lyrics for, 2 of which are on our previous album, Memorandum, and the 3rd, which we saved for this CD. And that was kind of the impetus to start asking other writers to, have this idea of maybe just get all these authors that we've met to write lyrics for us.
Well, one of the lyrics you were given was just a haiku.
that's
an urban haiku or suburban haiku. So I thought that's just a few seconds. I thought we'd hear that one and then we'll hear another song. But let's start with the haiku. Who's the writer of this?
That's Aaron Napersteck. I had read a Talk of the Town article in The New Yorker about this guy who lived in Brooklyn who got frustrated with all the traffic in front of his apartment and actually threw some eggs out of his window at the car and caused this whole ruckus in the neighborhood. And he turned that into writing haikus against the whole automotive industry, I guess, and started posting these on telephone poles throughout his neighborhood, and it caught on. Other people in the neighborhood started doing this and adding them, and all these haikus were popping up on telephone poles, and I was so fascinated. We had just started this project. I was like, we should contact this guy and get him to give us a haiku or write a haiku for us, and you know, he was thrilled to do it, and so that's how Honku, as he calls them, came to be.
Right. That's how we wrote a 28-second song.
Okay, well, here it is from the album As Smart As We Are by One Ring Zero.
You from New Jersey, honking in front of my house. In your SUV.
Is the anti-automotive haiku set to music by Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp of One Ring Zero. And all the songs on their new CD, which is called As Smart As We Are, feature lyrics written by writers that One Ring Zero has set to music. Let's go to a slightly longer song that you set to music. And this is one by the writer Dennis Johnson. And the song is called Blessing. Tell us about Dennis Johnson and about setting his lyric to music.
Dennis Johnson was one of the more difficult authors for us to get a hold of. I guess originally when I kind of pitched the idea to him, he wasn't so sure that our music and his words would go together. And, you know, after several emails, he finally said, well, you know, I guess if I was going to do this, I would kind of want a country song. So we're like, well, we'll write a country song.
Yeah.
So that's how that came to be. And I mean, they're fabulous lyrics. They're really great.
Beautiful.
And
we're from Virginia, so you know, we can handle country.
That's right. And when we finally sent the finished product to Dennis Johnson, I got a phone call from him, and he was just so excited and said he was so honored to be on this, and it really made us both extremely happy that we'd pulled it off.
And relieved.
So this is a lyric by the novelist and poet Dennis Johnson, set to music by Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp of One Ring Zero. They're singing on it as well and playing all the instruments. This is from their new CD, As Smart As We Are.
And the condemned man in his tuxedo dream, his dream of limousines and innocence. Off your clothes and come to him in dreams. Stand on the fire escape, naked and bless. With jazz like a rivulet of codeine, the laughter spilling from our broken necklaces.
My guests are Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp, the founders of the band One Ring Zero. Their new CD is called As Smart As We Are. My guests are the founders of the band One Ring Zero, Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp. Their new CD, As Smart As We Are, features lyrics by such novelists as Paul Auster, Daniel Handler, Rick Moody, and Dave Eggers. Can you read a few of the lines that you thought were really good that some of these writers and poets gave you, but that are not typical song lyrics?
Well, we don't even need to read them because we sing them and we have them memorized. But
sure.
Which is good since we don't have them with us. But Christ by the dumpster, peeling and tossing your lottery tickets, O Nazarene.
Drinking dust.
Drinking dust. that was more lyrical. Jonathan Ames' lyrics are fascinating. That's straight prose. And
Dennis Johnson who you just...
That was Dennis Johnson that I was just saying. Jonathan Ames clearly gave us straight prose, and that was a challenge to make a song with. He has the story that I've heard him tell several times at public readings about this sound he made when he was a kid called the Harry Call, and it somehow relieved him of all kinds of childhood ailments. He had a corset on his back and an elevated testicle, right? So, and somehow he made this sound with his buddies on the playground, and it became this story. But so the lyrics he gave us were, "When I was a little boy, I was very troubled. I had a bad back and an elevated testicle. I was 8 years old. I wasn't exactly off to a great start in life. For my back, I had to wear a corset. For my testicle, there's nothing to do but wait." You make a song of that.
Yeah.
What was the process for this? Was it different from sitting down to melodicize a more conventional lyric?
Yeah, it was. It was a matter of sitting down with a guitar and just singing the words until some kind of pattern formed, essentially.
We ended up having to go back to Jonathan and ask him if he could come up with just one sentence that we could at least somehow repeat and make into a chorus. And that's when he came with, "I'm a trumpet in a wall. This is the story of the Harry Call."
Yeah. So at least we had some kind of...
something to repeat to make
it... some song structure element.
Well, why don't we hear the Harry Call? And this is One Ring Zero from their new CD, Smart As We Are.
When I was a little boy, I was very troubled. I had a bad back and an elevated testicle. I was 8 years old. I wasn't exactly off to a great start in life. For my back, I had to wear a corset. For my testicle, there was nothing to do but wait. I'm a trumpet and a wall. This is the story of the Harry Call. One day in fourth grade, Jonathan Fat Eater made a sound, a little prayer sound from the bottom of his back.
That's Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp, the two members of the band One Ring Zero, and their new CD, As Smart As We Are, features lyrics by novelists and poets that Hurst and Camp set to music. And they also sing on it and play all the instruments. So when you guys got together and you realized you wanted to form a band together, what were you playing at the very beginning?
I think our first project was a klezmer project. This is before the claviola.
That's right.
We were just using melodica, and the band was called the Klezbians. I just said that, didn't I?
You did. We had a klezbian in the band. It was okay. It was legit.
I guess that made it okay.
Sure. But that was a lot of fun. We actually would get... I had a house in Richmond that I still own, actually. And the reason I bought the house for the most part was to set up a recording studio in the basement. And we would have these rehearsals once a week that never led to anything. We never had the intention of playing live. It's just once a week we'd invite whoever was interested to come over and join us in the basement to play klezmer standards, which there actually are klezmer standards. And there's whole books of klezmer standards. And we would just get together and
but we ended up recording a record of klezmerized Christmas songs.
Minor key.
Yes. Called A Very Klezmian Christmas.
Why were you so interested in klezmer?
I think it kind of going back to all the various folk musics that we're exposed to, and I somehow went early on in school, and when I was in college, somebody gave me a book of klezmer standards. I didn't even know it was called klezmer music. I just referred to it as crazy Jewish music. And then someone, when I played it somewhere, said, "Oh, that's klezmer music."
That was crazy Jewish music.
Sorry. I've never told Michael this story. And I loved it. I still play those songs that I learned. And I definitely started writing in that style as soon as I got that book.
Finally, I'm wondering, since there are only about 14 claviolas in the world, what happens if yours breaks?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
We go find John Modesky.
Steal the one you sold him.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Do you have access? Do you know who's got the other remaining ones?
Not all of them. I mean, we know where a good chunk of them are. I mean, the one good thing of this whole situation is Josh and I were both repair technicians at Hohner, so we know how to fix them.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
That is helpful.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. It's really been fun.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. We're thrilled to be here.
Michael Hurst and Joshua Camp are the founders of the band One Ring Zero. Their new CD is called As Smart As We Are.